Welcome to the Deep Dive. We're here to cut through the noise, get straight to the essentials, the surprising insights on complex topics. And today, well, we're tackling a really fascinating one. It's an ancient riddle, right, from Revelation 17.8.
Ah, yes. The one about.
Exactly. The beast that was and is not and will ascend out of the bottomless pit and go to perdition.
It's quite a statement, packed with imagery.
It really is. So our mission today is to unpack that. We're mainly looking at a study by Gavin Finley, MD. It's called The Beast, Demon of the Abyss, End Time Pilgrim.
Right. Alongside scripture itself, of course.
Of course. The aim is to pull out those key facts, those nuggets of knowledge, to understand what Finley sees as this really complex, prophetic puzzle.
And it's a way for you, the listener, to get a handle on how these ancient texts might connect to history, maybe even future events.
Yeah.
Sort of a shortcut. You know?
Yeah, a shortcut to getting informed on something that can feel pretty dense otherwise.
Definitely.
Okay, let's dive in then. Let's unpack this riddle. First piece, the beast that was. Finley's study makes it clear this isn't about Rome. This entity existed before John's time, way before.
Yeah, that's a key point in the source. To understand it, Finley takes us back to the book of Daniel, chapter 11 specifically.
Okay.
And what's really amazing here is that Daniel gets this incredibly detailed prophecy. This was back in 538 BC.
Wow.
Yeah. And it's about a future ruler from the Seleucid line.
And the time gap, the source points out, it's just staggering, isn't it?
It really is. 370 years pass between the prophecy and the person appearing.
370 years.
Uh-huh. And that person was Antiochus Epiphanes in 168 BC.
Right, Antiochus. And Finley's study doesn't mince words about him, calls his actions monstrous, blasphemous.
Absolutely. He wasn't just a bad ruler. He deliberately defiled the temple.
Okay.
The source highlights the pig slaughter on the altar.
Unbelievable.
Exactly. And the murderous rampage, stopping the daily sacrifices. It even mentions a specific date, Hanukkah, 168 BC, offering a pig to Zeus on the altar.
The source even mentions this being remembered in music like that Peter, Paul, and Mary piece.
Mm.
Yeah, it shows how deeply scarring that event was culturally.
And here's where Finley's analysis gets really deep. He asserts that it wasn't just Antiochus acting alone.
No. He argues that a demon spirit, he calls it a hideously evil spirit, actually possessed Antiochus.
Possessed him.
In 168 BC, yes. And this possession, according to the study, is what turned him into this blaspheming antichrist or anti-messiah.
That's a heavy claim.
It is. But Finley points out that it's not just, you know, theological guesswork. He cites historical records, Jewish history, too, that back up just how staggering these acts of blasphemy were.
So the historical accounts align with this idea of almost supernatural evil driving him.
That seems to be the interpretation presented, an almost malevolent intelligence behind it all.
Okay, here's where it gets really interesting for me, connecting past and future. Finley draws a direct line, doesn't he?
He does. He takes those specific acts of Antiochus, defiling the sanctuary, stopping the sacrifices, placing the abomination of desolation,
right,
and shows how those exact same things are prophesied for the end times.
In other parts of Daniel.
And Revelation.
Yes, precisely. And even Jesus, as the source notes, referenced Daniel's prophecy about this abomination in Matthew 24.
So this leads Finley to ask that really churning question.
Is it possible that they are possessed by the very same demon? That's the core insight he puts forward.
Because spirit beings are immortal, unlike us?
Exactly. That's the logic. They can operate through different people, centuries apart. Finley suggests Daniel 11 kind of runs on, you know, describes the spirit acting through Antiochus and the future Antichrist.
Wow. Okay, so that's the beast that was, which brings us right to the next part. The beast that was not.
Mm-hmm.
Meaning, in John's time, late first century, where was it? If it existed before, but wasn't active then.
Well, Revelation 17.8 gives the clue itself, right? The beast will ascend out of the bottomless pit.
Okay, so the conclusion is, it was locked up.
That's Finley's reading. Locked up in the abyss or the bottomless pit, a kind of spiritual prison. It was not active because it was confined. And this confinement links to the idea of a restrainer, doesn't it?
Precisely. And for that piece, Finley turns to the Apostle Paul.
To Thessalonians.
Yep, chapter 2. Paul talks about someone or something, a restrainer, holding back this figure Paul calls the man of sin or the lawless one.
And this restrainer will be taken out of the way. Eventually.
Right, at just the right moment. Now, Finley goes into who or what this restrainer could be.
Okay.
He argues that it can't be human, can't be government, even argues against it being the Holy Spirit because the Spirit is omnipresent, right? Wouldn't be taken out of the way.
So who does the source suggest?
An angel. Specifically, Archangel Michael.
Michael, really?
Finley identifies him as Israel's master at arms, the one who restrains these evil principalities, holding them, as the study says, in the abyss, in chains of darkness, like this beast demon.
So the removal of Michael's restraint, that's the key event.
It's presented as an epic moment in future history, yes. That's what allows this beast demon out of the abyss to possess the man of sin, who was then revealed for who he truly is.
Okay, this is intricate. So the demon is let loose,
mm-hmm.
which leads us right into the third part of the riddle. The beast that will ascend up out of the bottomless pit.
Exactly. This is the end time phase.
Yeah.
The ascent marks the transformation of the Antichrist figure.
And Finley describes him starting out differently, not immediately monstrous.
Right. Initially, he's presented as a peacemaker. This is during the first half of what the study calls the future 70th week, a specific seven-year period. So for the first 3.5 years.
He seems okay, tolerant, even lets the temple be rebuilt.
Apparently so. The source calls him a consort to the harlot riding on him during this phase.
Which is often interpreted as a corrupt world system, right?
Right.
Religious or political.
That's a common interpretation, yes. A system that initially supports him.
But then comes the turning point.
The midpoint. Exactly. Halfway through those final 7 years.
Yeah.
Daniel 9.27b points to this moment.
And that's when the possession happens. The demon ascends from the abyss and enters him.
That's the sequence Finley lays out. And this possession is what transforms him. He becomes the monstrous spirit and character of the 666 beast phase Antichrist.
So no more Mr. Nice Guy.
Not at all. Finley uses that exact phrase. He becomes a malignant, blaspheming desecrator.
And this is when he breaks his agreement with Israel.
Breaks the covenant, stops the Jewish sacrifices again. Just like Antiochus.
And commits the abomination of desolation.
Yes, which Finley describes as just this unbridled, obscene blaspheming of God. It's a repeat performance, in a sense.
It's like the source is saying the demon is just reinstalling its old software.
Uh-huh. That's one way to put it. Downloading the same abominable spiritual software.
Oh.
Finley's phrase. Doing the very same abominable things.
It's a powerful echo of history, like you said.
It really is. And the consequences are laid out clearly.
He becomes an enemy of Jerusalem, of the holy people.
Mm-hmm. And that harlot system that supported him, Finley notes he gets dismounted rather forcefully. Burned with fire, according to Revelation 17.1c.
Right. And this period after the abomination, how long does it last?
Finley connects the dots across prophecies here. The abomination kicks off the 1260-day reign of the Antichrist.
Which is also called the Great Tribulation.
Yes, lasting 3.5 years. It's also described as the trampling of Jerusalem for 42 biblical months.
So 12, 14, 60 days, 3.5 years, 42 months. They all line up.
According to Finley's analysis of the scriptures, yes, they all point to this final intense period of the beast's rule.
Okay, which brings us finally to the end of the riddle, the beast that goes to perdition.
The final destination, which Finley clarifies means heading into the lake of fire.
Apostle John saw this end right from the start, didn't he? Back in Revelation 17.8.
He did. The end was prophesied along with the beginning and middle. And Revelation 19 gives more detail.
About the capture.
Right. Finley said he points to Revelation 19.19.20, where the beast and his sidekick, the false prophet, are captured.
And their fate.
Not pretty. Cast alive into the lake of fire burning with brimstone. A final, decisive judgment.
Wow. That's quite the narrative arc. From ancient history to the ultimate end.
It is. But Finley closes that part of his study with a reminder, a reassurance.
What's that?
Surely our God, the Shepherd of Israel, is in control of world history. He will be regathering all his lost people, even on a dark and cloudy day.
A message of hope amidst the darkness described.
Exactly.
So let's just quickly recap. We started with this riddle. Was, is not, will ascend, goes to perdition.
Mm-hmm.
And this deep dive, using Finley's work, connected a specific historical figure, Antiochus Epiphanes, in 168 BC.
Driven by what the source describes as this ancient evil demon.
Two prophecies about a future Antichrist figure.
Right. We saw how this same spirit, according to the source, was believed to be locked away, restrained in the abyss.
It is not Viz.
Only be released later, ascending, to possess the end-time ruler, replaying those ancient blasphemies.
Leading finally to perdition, the lake of fire.
It's a complex web, but Finley's study provides a framework, a way to potentially connect these dots across scripture and history.
And hopefully this deep dive has given you, our listener, a clearer picture of those connections, those key insights from the source material, a shortcut to understanding these claims.
That's the goal.
So thinking about all this, what does it mean for you If we take Finley's perspective, this idea of one spirit influencing history across millennia, these incredibly detailed prophecies, what does that suggest to you about evil, about history, about how things might unfold?
Yeah, it definitely leaves you with something to think about, doesn't it?
It certainly does. Food for thought long after this deep dive.